You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday, and welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back together. Buck, how you doing, man?
Man, great. It's been a great week. We're so knee-deep in the football part of it. Like, the NFL regular season is almost near the midway point. College football is getting to the point where we're seeing these meaningful games. And then, you know, like DJ in Southern California, high school ball, you're getting close to the playoffs. So
I know
it's a lot of fun.
It needs to get cooler though, man. Like I love living in California. The weather's great and all that stuff. But man, it's like, come on, we're on the back end. We got two high school football games left, and it's not. I need just a sweatshirt. I like to wear a sweatshirt, Buck.
I mean, you can wear a sweatshirt. Just sweat up under it. Bring a towel. But you don't know. This is perfect. DJ, imagine if you're like in Ohio and stuff, and then you got
to
do.
I know. I don't want to go to the other extreme. Yeah. I just want something in the middle.
Well, it'll happen. It'll happen. Maybe in November. Somewhere in November, you get some of those temperatures that you desire. I am fine with it always being about 75 and nice and easy.
I don't want to be the person who complains about it being too nice outside, but I just like to wear a sweatshirt at night. That's all. That's all I'm looking for. How's our team? By the way, I have not asked you in a while, high school-wise. How are we doing? How's our squad looking?
Right now, we're sitting at 5-2-1.
Okay.
It's been a rocky road in terms of like trying to figure it out with a real young team. But we always talk about trying to play our best ball down the stretch. And so hopefully we're beginning to turn the corner and kind of get everything going. But, you know, we'll see what it looks like. So we have a game against Elko. Then we got senior night next Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just kind of see what the playoff seating looks like.
So you've played seven then? You've played seven? Are you only playing nine regular season games?
No, we played eight. Like, I got a tie in there. Like, it's uncommon.
Oh, jeez. I didn't hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a tie. So 5-2-1. We're sitting there. So we'll see what it looks like. But, yeah, and then the playoffs. And then that's the fun part, the postseason, one and done.
So. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to following your journey there as it did last year, which was fun watching you guys go all the way to state championship game. All right, today on the show, we're going to talk about a couple college games we're looking forward to, some storylines there. We're going to probably be pretty college centric there. Not going to be a long pod, so we'll get you. Hopefully this is a nice, you get a little 2 mile run in while you're listening to this pod today. That's what we're trying to accomplish. Get your 2 miles in, and then we're going to wrap and you're going to wrap, and everybody's going to be happy and fit and healthy here. But we are going to start out, which we do each and every Friday, Buck, which is our Bucky's Coach's Corner, where you take a term each and every week. And we have a chance to learn a little something and have a fun conversation. So what is our term? What is our word for today?
All right, so the word for today is going to be sacrifice. Sacrifice, all great teams. If you're going to be a great team, a championship team, like there has to be some level of sacrifice from the coaches, from the players, to be able to get it done. I had a great defensive coordinator when I was playing for the Green Bay Packers, Fritz Schirmer, who we were coming off a year in which we lost the championship game, but we had Super Bowl aspirations the next year. And he said, guys, head of defense in the room. He said, guys, to be successful, it's like when you have a pot on the stove. He said, you got to pour in before you can dip out. So everyone needs to pour into the pot before you can start individually taking those things out. He says, I don't know much, but I know this. The better the team, the more the individual accolades. And so if everyone will sacrifice their own individual agendas to make sure that the team is successful, you'll get all the individual stuff that you want because the team has played at the highest level. And when you think about that in college, you think about that in the pros, a lot of times DJ, like the Heisman Trophy winner goes to the quarterback or the playmaker on the best team. You think about it in the Super Bowl, the MVP and all that other stuff goes to the defense player. A lot of times it goes to the standout player on the best team because it's about the impact or the perceived impact that they make. And what you try and get, whether it's a team or organization, you try and get everyone to understand that part of it. If I worry less about myself and more about how I can help the team, in the end, the team's going to benefit, but I'm going to benefit as a result. It's a hard concept for not only kids to get, it's a hard concept for adults to get, that if I take a little less, if I do a little less in terms of like me-centric stuff, I'll get all this stuff back if I really buy into the fabric of the team.
I think it's a great word. A couple of phrases I wrote down along those lines. I remember hearing somebody say early on, you got to give up to go up. Like there's, you can't be great at everything, and you can't be, have your hands in a million different things. If you want to be good at something, it's going to cause you to have to give up something else. You know, whatever that might be. But you've got to give up to go up. The other one was, and we've talked about this a bunch before, but you know, that old line, if you want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, you go together. So you've got to be able to see outside yourself and realize there's a bigger picture here. And sometimes that absolutely does require sacrifice. That might mean, like in football terms, that might mean, you know what, I got to play out of position. You know, I might not be comfortable as a safety. I'm a corner. But because this gets our best five DBs on the field, I got to go back there and play safety where I'm not as good, because that gets our other corner who's better than our other safety. So I'm gonna take one here and get a little bit out of my comfort zone, but I'm sacrificing maybe my best optimal individual performance because it's what's best for the team.
So I don't know if you remember when you were scouting, I don't know if this was true in Baltimore, but it was definitely true for me when I was a scout with the Carolina Panthers. John Fox always put a premium on, we want players from winning programs. And one of the reasons why, he was like, it's easier for them to understand the sacrifices that need to be made to play at a championship level. When you get guys that may come from losing programs, they may have been stars individually, but did they buy into the collective? And one of the things that we hunted for, we wanted these guys from winning programs, because when they came into the locker room, those old core values that you talk about, commitment, accountability, trust, or you talk about give up to go up, they've heard that before. Because if you're on a winning program, most of the time, you've had to sacrifice some of that. You've had to buy into similar messages for the team to be successful. So to me, sacrifice is a big part of winning. And if you can find winners as you're kind of building a new team, those guys already kind of understand the sacrifice that was needed for the team to play at its best.
So as we get towards a trade deadline as a team builder, And there's not a lot, usually not a ton of trades, NFL trades. But I remember talking to my buddy in the hockey world who said that they looked at the trade deadline. They tried to find a couple glue guys. Like if we can find a couple glue guys, in his words, who had some championship experience, veteran players that have been there, done that, that understand what you're talking about, sacrifice, and that can spread that message throughout the team. I think we need to pay attention at the trade deadline, not just, you know, how impactful is the talent that you're bringing in, but maybe how impactful can the person be that you're bringing in?
Yeah, it's one of those things, trade deadline or down the stretch. Ron Wolf, when he was running the Packers, he always would try and sign a veteran down the stretch. I think one of my final years he was there, I think he might have signed Mark Collins, who had played with the Giants. And I don't know how good Mark Collins was as a player, but what he wanted was to sprinkle some of that championship experience, some of that pedigree, some of that, what we call that old head in the locker room that can talk about, hey, guys, look, you don't get many opportunities to chase it, to get close. So if everyone can just, don't worry about your individual stuff, but just, hey, let's just lock in and do whatever we got to do for the team. Because if we are, look, if we're champions, we'll be immortalized forever. So let's just do those things. DJ, what your friend in the hockey world talked about is really important, because those glue guys matter. Even when we're looking at the baseball, right? We're into those rounds where we're going to see, man, it's the role players that are older, that are wiser, that are being able to come in and make critical plays, or the behind the scenes things to help the young guys get up. It's undervalued, but it's greatly appreciated by the people that are in that world.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. Look, I think their run's probably getting ready to end. But with Tommy Pham, went to the Arizona Diamondbacks, veteran, been around forever, intense, competitive guy. But he gets that overall team picture, and I think he helped kind of mold and nurture some of those guys. And look, watching the Astros the other night, and they're down 2-1 as we're recording this right now. But man, Buck, they have so much experience. Like that, I guess Altuve is like second all time now in playoff home runs. Like that, been there, done that. That understanding and experience, man, that's big once you get into the playoffs.
Look, I think it matters, and I know people saying, "Oh, it doesn't." I think you don't want to have a team of too many old guys that can't play, but you need to have some around that can help, because when you get in those moments and you get in those games, that experience matters. That been there, done that, that ability to still win that you have no business winning, that comes from experience. And so we look at the Patriots now, right? Everyone is talking about the Patriots and they're down on the Patriots and all that. But DJ, doing their run, think about all the old grizzled veterans that they brought. Oh, Junior Seau. Like, you know, like just
Rodney Harrison.
Rodney Harrison, the old guys that they would bring through there for like a little run to give them a little piece to be able to kind of talk to the guys or make a play in a select role. It's one of those things that when you're building a team, and I think team builders have to appreciate, hey, man, we kind of need just like a little gray beard in the locker. I don't know how much he can play, but we'll pay him. We'll pay him just to have him around just in case. There's a value in that.
No question. I agree completely. So that's the theme today. Little Bucky's Coach's Corner, sacrifice and what that means for the overall success of the team. So that was a fun one, Buck. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll jump into some of these college games on our abbreviated Friday pod. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. All right, Buck, great college football slate. I feel like every week this screws me. It's always when the Chargers are on the road and I'm traveling on a Saturday and I end up missing a bunch of these games. But a few I want to get to here, starting with Ohio State, Penn State. We've talked about Penn State before and that James Franklin's kind of built his team to play against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. I've heard a lot of conversation about Penn State, Ohio State, this being maybe Penn State's best team in terms of their talent, in terms of, you know, their toughness. And there's a lot of conversation about the quarterback being able to just kind of play the right way. People have talked about, oh, they don't push it down the field, but this is more of a methodical Penn State team than we've seen. We, you know, they were explosive when they had Saquon Barkley. We've seen all that other stuff, but this is a team that appears to have the toughness to go toe-to-toe with an Ohio State to kind of make it really a match in a phone booth. The one thing that I worry about with Penn State is we talk about that experience, that big game experience. Like, they've struggled against like the Ohio States and the Michigans of the world. So who is going to make the play when they need it at the end? Who is going to do it? And I'll be honest, like, defensively, can Manny Diaz, can he find a way to do it? Because he wants to bring pressure from everywhere. But does he have enough confidence in his guys to lock up and cover? Because when Notre Dame played Ohio State, they played man-to-man, and they covered them. Is Penn State good enough to cover Ohio State?
I think that's what they're going to do. I mean, I think that's what we're going to attempt to do. But he's done it. He's built a roster with incredible athleticism and speed, which is equipped beautifully to go up against Ohio State. And I think the drop-off in quarterback for Ohio State for where they've been traditionally, like, that gap is all but disappeared between these two programs. And then, you know, you look on Penn State offensively, I don't know, Buck, in years past, you play against an Ohio State team, you're like, man, we don't get to 35. I mean, you got a chance. Mm-hmm. They get to 24. I think they got a really good chance of winning this ball game.
Yeah, I think that has to be the thing. That's the magic number. It's a different team. You know, and to me, it was eye-opening when I saw Notre Dame play them man-to-man. No disrespect to Notre Dame, but that's normal. That hadn't been their MO when it came to how they played or whatever. Typically, there's a little notch below their athleticism and some of the top teams. And so when they had enough confidence and they had success playing man-to-man, it provided a blueprint for others on how to play this version of Ohio State. For Ohio State, somehow I think they got to unlock their playmakers on the perimeter. You know, we could talk about McCord, maybe the quarterback is holding them back a little bit, but in my mind, DJ, if you're standing with the play sheet, there has to be someone on the sideline tallying up the touches that Marvin Harrison gets. Marvin Harrison, you remember the old Randy ratio that Mike Tyson used to do with Randy Moss? I think it might need to be broken out this week from Ryan to, hey, look, we need to get him 10 to 12 targets. And some of those need to be forced, but we need to make sure that he gets enough targets to have an impact on the game. If Ohio State leaves the game and Marvin Harrison only has two catches, to me, that's a problem. He needs to have a bigger impact on the game, and some of that needs to be manufactured and designed by the play call.
Yeah, no doubt. To me, shoot, if you got to throw him in the backfield and pitch it to him, for crying out loud, just put the ball in his hands and let him touch it, get him going early in that game. Seems to be a smart idea. Alabama, Tennessee, that's a big one, 11-17. Alabama is just, I feel like every game from an era in the past where they've blown the doors off everybody, it feels like they're in a lot of fourth quarter games, man.
Yeah, they're in a lot of fourth quarter games. But here's what I appreciate about Nick Saban and what I appreciate about great coaches. Great coaches can recognize very early in the year what their team can and can't do. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, hey, this is how we got to play to win the game. And what they become is they are a slow, methodical, rock'em sock'em robot team. Yeah. Gritty, tough. He made a decision on the quarterback. I hear you guys saying we need to do this, but this guy gives us the best chance. And it's not pretty. Remember, it's not what we've had with Tua and Mac Jones and those other guys that come through. But that's fine. We can figure out a way to win it. The problem is the margin for error is a lot slimmer than it's been in the past. And so they can't turn the ball over. They really have to be on point on defense in terms of controlling the game and not allowing the explosives to be a big part. And then when you look at Tennessee, that is their game. Explosive plays, high-powered offense.
Last year, it was a boat race. It was Jalen Hyatt after Jalen Hyatt after Jalen Hyatt after Jalen Hyatt. They better have figured that out.
And so that's the thing, because their splits, they put those four DBs on an
those
island.
Slot verticals, and they just went after those safeties, man.
You better be able to hold up in coverage. It's a trick, but these games to me are fun. DJ, these are the games that you want to see. You want to see the marquee games, not only from a fan standpoint, but from an evaluator. I mean, I want to see how the guys best on best. To me, that's where you get the true evaluation. I want to see the best guys against the best players.
Well, as scouts, we'll be watching the SC Utah game to see how Caleb Williams responds. That's what we're going to be looking at from a personnel standpoint. You mentioned it yesterday on the show. It's a great opportunity for him after having faced some real adversity. One of the first times he's really had some real adversity here, three interceptions, played probably his worst game as a collegiate. So how does he bounce back against a really physical Utah team? And I'll be honest, Buck, it feels like I think people are going to issue a verdict on Lincoln Riley after this game, one way or the other. They're going to say, okay, this is going in the right direction. And they, you know, it may be maybe they were a little bit further away than we thought when he got there, but this is going to work. If they go out there and Utah does what they did to him twice last year and physically beats them up for the third time following a game where Notre Dame beat the stuffing out of them, people are going to be sitting there saying, man, this is a quote unquote air raid, you know, soft type team. Offense. It's soft. Team. They're not who USC. Anytime SC's ever won anything, they've been a physical, tough, rugged team, and this team is soft as tissue paper. He's going to have that. This game feels like people are going to make a decision after this game whether this thing's going right or left.
It's already mounting up. I mean, it's one of the conversations. And you saw how Ryan Day bristled at the suggestion that Ohio State was soft. It's the one thing, man. It is the one thing that, as a coach, you never want anyone to talk about your team being soft in a game that's really built on physicality and toughness. SC is going to have to step up and not only match Utah's physicality, they have to exceed it. And it has to be, and when I say this, and I think it's really important, like coaches to talk about it. Look, man, we want to match their physicality, but we're not trying to fight them. What we want to do is we want to knock them around from snap to whistle over and over again. And you earn their respect by throwing those haymakers at them between the lines and between, you know, within the bounds of play. But for me, USC, this has to be a physical game. And look, let's be honest about the elephant in the room. The defense has not been up to par. The defense, we know the offense was going to be what it is, but what you're hoping in a perfect world, the version of USC that I'm looking at is high-flying offense that's explosive and dynamic, but a defense that is physical that runs counter towards that. And some would say it's hard to practice against maybe a more of a finesse offense and get the physical edge. But we've seen teams do it. Like Clemson wasn't necessarily a very physical offense, but defensively they had monsters that could get it done. Alabama, when they went to spread, they still retained some of their physical, their physicality and toughness. For SC and why they've fallen behind, it's been a while since we talked about SC in the national championship conversation. They have to up the ante when it comes to that. So, yes, there are a lot of eyes that will look at this game this weekend against Utah and say, hey, you know what? It's never going to work. Despite all the flash in the ass, despite the transfers, despite all the stuff that's coming out, SC will never be what they were until they go back to doing some of the stuff that they did.
Yeah, the other thing I would add is just TV scouting. I haven't dug in and looked at them in terms of the tape. But just flipping channels and watching them on TV, Buck, it doesn't look like they have a top three, four-round offensive lineman. Like, they got abused up front by Notre Dame. And if you think back to Oklahoma, they had a good offensive line coach, and they had a lot of NFL offensive linemen, you know, with Creed Humphrey, obviously, you know, you had the, you got Orlando Brown. They had a bunch of different guys get picked there. So that is a concern. We'll see. Utah, doesn't matter what year it is, Kyle Whittingham is going to be big and physical up front. So we'll see what that looks like. It feels like a huge game at the Coliseum. SC, you know, not just for their Pac-12 hopes this year, but for kind of a confidence boost to where this program is at this point in time.
Let me ask you real quick, because there have been some scouts that are talking about Caleb Williams. And you know, one of the things that happens when guys hang around and they kind of have a big year and then they come back for that next year. Do you feel like Caleb Williams is trying to do too much? Like in baseball terms, people are saying he went from being a contact hitter to trying to be a power hitter, a home run hitter.
Yeah.
And that has impacted his game. And so we're seeing more mistakes because he's just not taking what the defense is giving him and just kind of playing the play as opposed to trying to manufacture big plays.
Yeah, I talked to Bruce Feldman the other day, and he was asking what I thought. And I said, it looks like he's trying to hit a 5-run home run on every snap. Like, he's trying to do the impossible. Like, you just need to do the simple, you know. And if it's not there, throw it away. Don't take a bad sack. But he's kind of looking to make these, you know, incredible Instagram-worthy, you know, spinning out of tackles and doing all this kind of stuff and across your body. And it's like, you can't major in that stuff. You can sprinkle that stuff in. But you got to major in getting your feet in the ground, making quick reads, and deliver the ball accurately, which he can do, and he's done it. But right now, I think he needs to major in the simple, and he needs to minor in the spectacular. And I feel like he's got that flipped.
Yeah, it's so hard. I think it's something that we talked about. We always talk about simplicity and those things. Keep the main thing the main thing.
In and out, man. Yeah, in and out.
Keep the main thing the main thing. When he's been at his best, it is about, hey, man, playing dot to dot, let the playmakers do the work, and every now and then utilize your athleticism to make plays off the script. But it's hard for anybody to live off the script. You know, even Pat Mahomes, who is at the pinnacle of his game, he has become a much better player, even though it's crazy. We talk about a 2-time MVP. I think he's playing some of the best ball of his career the last couple of years when he's had to play more connected dots, because he always has that ace in the hole where I can get off script. But now, if he can play in rhythm, on time, and those things, how do you beat him? For Caleb Williams, he just needs a reminder. Man, you won a Heisman Trophy kind of doing it a certain way. You don't have to, like, re-win that Heisman Trophy. You don't have to try and be more spectacular than you were a season ago. Just let the game come to you and let your natural talent shine. It's been a huge problem. And the thing about it, what he doesn't know, if he starts running up these interceptions, that becomes a conversation in the meeting room. And what he does is he cracks the door open for a guy like Drake May if he decides to come out, somebody else, Michael Penix Jr. Like, he cracks the door for guys to start looking elsewhere for the quarterback that values the ball. So it's just about making sure he keeps the main thing the main thing and not trying to do too much.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a big opportunity for them. Again, they are number 18 in the country now. Utah's 14, so that would be a big bounce back if they could find a way to get that done, but I never bet against the Utes. Kyle Whittingham is as good as it gets in terms of a coach, and he'll have his guys ready to go. Looking forward to watching that game. All right, I said it, Buck. It was abbreviated. Hopefully you guys listening, hopefully you hit the 2 miles. Hopefully you're getting a nice cool down in right now, maybe a nice cold towel, banana, something. By the way, do you do that? Are you a podcast when you go for your walk or your run here?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Podcast. Yeah, so normally DJ, it's all kinds of like leadership podcasts and stuff. Your buddy, our buddy, John Gordon, I listen to a lot of stuff that he has.
Yeah.
I try and find different things where you're just trying to talk to like influencers. But yeah, like that's where you get it. It's in my head, I'm a reader, but also like to me, that is part of reading. Like it's trying to keep your mind active. So yeah, podcasting is big.
I love it. Well, there you go. That's our Friday pod in the books. Another week down here on Move the Sticks. Again, encourage you guys, if you haven't already, leave us a rating and review. We appreciate those. Subscribe if you haven't already. 5 pods a week, Monday through Friday, including our video show, which is on Tuesdays. You can find that at 4 p.m. Pacific every Tuesday on the NFL Fast Channel. All right, that's it. We appreciate you guys. Hope you have a great football weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.